Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, the little pizza table that keeps the hot cheese of bad vibes from the pizza lid of the internet. How's that?
I liked it.
Switched it up a bit?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, the listener might know that you did a take one at that where you were kind of saying, it kind of sounded like, you know, we were stopping the good times getting to the lid of the internet almost.
It's the cheese is the bad times.
Yes.
Which is not true, obviously.
Oh,
but we're the little.
Finally, he admits it.
We're the little plastic
table. A confession.
Oh, no.
He's trying to blast through it, but he finally confesses that cheese is the bad times.
No, cheese is
we
the good
it.
Times.
We got it on wax.
Cheese is the good times, especially with the yard sale off menu Christmas Dream Pizza. Available now from all yard sale pizza locations.
He confessed. He confessed that cheese is the bad times. Ed Gamble confessed it. My name is James Acaster, and I'm a winner. This is the Off Menu podcast. We invite a guest into the dream restaurant, and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink, not in that order. And this week, it's a Christmas special, and our guest is
Harry Hill. It's the second Christmas special in this run of two Christmas specials. Very excited to have the wonderful Harry Hill joining us.
Wowee, Harry Hill, everyone's favourite cheeky uncle.
He is a cheeky uncle.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm guessing, if he's your actual uncle.
Yeah, then he must be like super, super cheeky uncle.
He's a double unk.
Yeah, he's a double unk because he's everyone. He's the nation's uncle, but he's also your uncle.
Yes. What a wonderful comedian. Harry Hill's TV Burp, one of the best TV shows ever.
Absolutely love it. I mean, looking back, for probably over a decade afterwards, everyone was trying to do it as well.
Yeah.
That's how you know a good show.
Yeah.
You nail it. And then everyone goes, do you know what we should do? We should all do clips that we found online or on other TV shows. I bet that would be funny, just like Harry Hill. Nope. No one's as funny as Harry Hill, so bad luck.
I guess they found a way of doing it with Gogglebox.
Yeah.
It's sort of a riff on TV Burp, isn't it?
Yeah, that's ultimate TV Burp. And now, like, you know, all over the internet, people do reaction videos to stuff. I mean, Harry Hill started it all.
Still the original.
Still the OG uncle watching the TV and reacting to it.
You've been framed.
Well, I mean, he wasn't the OG that.
No, of course.
But he
resurrected
it.
The format
perfected it.
Thank you, Harry. But looking forward to speaking to him. But of course, even though he's done all of these wonderful things, as well as being, let's not forget, a fantastic stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Even though he's done all of those things, if he says a secret ingredient that we have predetermined, we will kick him out of the dream restaurant. Yep. James, what is the secret ingredient for Harry Hill this week?
Secret ingredient is
hooves.
Hooves. he did a show called Hooves. That's why we're being cheeky.
Yes.
We're thinking maybe.
We're trying to be cheeky uncles.
Yeah.
We're cheeky cousins, aren't we?
We're cheeky little cousins. Each other's cousins, or we're both brothers and we're someone else's cousins?
No, we're someone else's cousins, but we're cousins to the same people. So we only really see each other at weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we get on.
We get on, but we only see each other at weddings. That's what we aspire to one day.
Yeah.
Once this facade, this hellish facade of a podcast has come to an end.
We'll only see each other at weddings.
Just see each other at weddings. I mean, let's face it, though, by the time it is over, more likely to be funerals.
Yes. So we are cheeky cousins. Harry's a cheeky uncle.
Yeah.
What's the great Benito?
Well, the great Benito is obviously the scrappy little nephew running around with a snotty little nose.
Yeah. How you feel about that one?
Yep, likes it.
We'll probably be chatting to Harry about his new book, Fight.
Yeah.
Autobiography.
I mean, everyone should know what that's a reference to.
Yes.
If they don't, where you been?
Where you been, guys?
Where you been, guys? Great book. Can't wait to ask about it. Can't wait to hear what his meal is.
Yes. Very excited. And also, we're not going to chat about this, but I'm on tour in February, James. I'd start my tour in February. Yes. Goes through till April. Ed Gamble, electric. edgamble.co.uk for details. Brilliant. Buy yourself some tickets for Christmas.
Oh, I'm gonna, because Ed still refuses to give me freebies.
No way.
He won't do it.
We must act like the general public, James. We're not the government.
We're not the government. Congratulations. Well,
look, if Ant and Dec are doing satire, I'm going to join in as well.
Yeah, you've done well. Ant and Dec doing satire?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
But now, here's the off-menu menu of Harry Hill. Welcome, Harry Hill, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thanks very much.
Oh. Welcome, Harry Hill, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
It's the genie. It's the restaurant. Genie.
How do you feel about genies, Harry?
Well, one of my first breaks in show business was when I was 9. I was Widow Twankey in, you know the name of the panto, I think.
Aladdin, I believe.
Aladdin, yeah. You genies would know this.
Yeah, yeah, I know the name. May I say, before this anecdote even continues, 9... pretty young to play Twankey. How did that happen? Well, youngest Twankey in history.
It was, sorry, I should have prefaced that. It was the Cub Panto.
Okay.
Right, okay. So everyone.
But even
was
then,
nine,
it was I was young.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Because, you know, Cubs goes up to about 11, I think.
Yes, I think you're right.
So
there
were a few people, obviously, that were passed over for the role. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who played the genie, actually.
That's a big role, but it's ageless as well. So it could have been one of the newer Cubs.
But it was really. You know, Aladdin is what put genies on the map, I think.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, it was huge for us, Aladdin. And also, I mean, to be fair, Aladdin did a lot for widows as well.
Yeah, it's between them and Scottish widows, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the two main widow promotional devices.
Yeah.
Did you...
Certainly in terms of, like, positive representation of widows, because in a lot of the other stuff, they're very sad, aren't they?
Well, there was the TV serial Widows,
which is...
quite on the nose as a title for it.
They weren't messing around.
Oh. I suppose there's the spider, the Black Widow.
Now, of course, the superhero Black Widow.
Yeah.
Own film franchise. Probably wouldn't have happened were it not for Widow Twankey.
Mm.
Did you do a lot of research for
she
the role?
She was like the seed widow.
Did you talk to a lot of widows before you played Widow
did
Twankey?
Research. Did research. I hung around the Undertakers.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
9 years old.
You're visiting your husband. So I did do a lot of that research. I know that the kid playing Aladdin had ginger hair.
Right.
So he wasn't a natural choice.
Already, that's not exactly.
For the role.
Want to give him a shout out?
Yeah, I was just talking to him in the car on the way here. Funnily enough.
Really?
For instance, yeah.
Still in touch with Aladdin?
Because his mum's just died.
Okay.
Sorry. It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
My mum, you know, like, I don't know about you, my mum's 84, and she's all her friends keep dying, and so she's got so blasé about it. So this is my best friend, Ad, from school.
Yeah.
And she says, she just texts me saying, great to see you at Christmas. Adam's mum died. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's like another one gone. You know, this
you
just become
up.
So blasé.
Did you ring him up to give him, because obviously... You yourself have been a widow before. Did you ring him up to give him
insights.
Advice on the grieving process?
Well, he wouldn't be a widow.
No, that's not what
he'd
be an orphan.
I know the kids don't get called widows.
Widow Junior. Widow Junior. There's a film.
Yeah. Widow Junior would be a film that you could pitch.
I'm just going to say it again. Kiddos. There you go. Just kiddos, so you get it in clean.
There you go.
What's that?
Ed's joke is... I'll tell him.
The kid winner.
Kiddos.
Kiddos.
Like adults.
Spelled with a W at the end?
Yes.
This is one of our strongest starts.
I think so.
I'd say.
If this is a strong start, I'd like to hear some of the other starts.
Well, I'll tell you.
Perhaps you should just do like a start special, which is like a compilation of all the starts.
Yeah, that would be good.
So maybe like we could get all the starts and put them in a certain order that they might make their own narrative. Oh,
exactly the sort of thing you'd think of.
Yeah, this is exactly the trend. This is one of my beef about, forgive me, younger comedians.
Absolutely.
In the old days, you just used to be able to just tell jokes for an hour.
Yeah.
You didn't have to build to anything. Yeah. You didn't have to be any so-called narrative. We weren't all storytellers back then. We were just funny. We were just funny people with jokes.
You can't make out, Harry Hill, like that's all you did. With your shows, you put a lot into the structure.
You would take
a routine, you would divide it up into all its separate bits, and then you would shuffle it all together like that. You put a lot. You think
they're not talking about effort.
Older comics were looking at you going, look at that with his structure. Back in my day, you could just do a routine as a whole. You didn't have to shuffle it in with all the other routines. Yeah. Have it all be all the callbacks at the end. This is absolutely. What are those horns he's honking? Actually, they like those.
Those were stolen from my lockup recently. I went to get them. I thought maybe, you know, like when you've got I've got a tour coming up and I'm thinking, oh, what can I recycle? It must be something I could, you know, that sort of panic.
Yeah.
And I go down there and I've got this big metal case for them in this lockup under all this stuff. Yeah. I share the lockup. It's a double garage.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lockup garage. Yeah. And one side of it, his side, is piled high with, look like rags. It's just like rags, okay? And I get down there one day, and I've got all my props and stuff, right? Yeah. Stuff I don't really need. He's there with a white van, and he's sorting all this stuff out. And he said, oh, I'm from Nigeria, and I send this stuff back to Nigeria. I run this charity. I thought, oh, fair enough. You know. And on close inspection, it wasn't just rags. And then one day I go in, it's been cleared out.
Yeah.
He's gone. 2 years pass, lockdown. Mm-hmm. I go to investigate, to get this metal box. I open the metal box up, empty. He's taken it.
So you think...
Well, what's he doing with them?
What was in there that you were looking for? The horns from your show that were lined up. Well, I don't know if you've seen Bill Bailey's latest show. I think I know exactly where they've gone. So you think that maybe the man who sent stuff for charity to Nigeria... maybe sent your horns to Nigeria.
I think before he went, he had a little route around. There were also two lilos that were missing.
Yeah, Why do you think he specifically took the horns and then the two lilos?
I'm thinking maybe he's floating the horns across.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
A moat.
So why couldn't he send... the moat, and he's not floating them all the way to Nigeria. There's a moat in Nigeria that he needs to get the horns across.
How far do you reckon?
Let me answer.
Yeah.
May I just address that question?
Yeah.
I'm just saying stretch of water.
Yeah.
I'm not saying specifically a moat.
How far do you reckon you could get those horns on two lilos if you had to get them from here to Nigeria? How far do you reckon you could get?
Me, personally.
If you got you got your two lilos, you're putting the horns on them.
Yeah.
What's the furthest?
We ask this to everyone, by the way.
The furthest I can swim.
So you would be with them all the time.
Two lengths.
I personally would. Eventually, I'd push them and hope that the sea takes them.
Well, if you could get the tides right, if you could judge the tides correctly,
so
if you could ride those tides, you could get all the way to Nigeria.
As you were swimming towards the shore of Nigeria, pushing the two lilos with the horns on them.
Who's that?
That's how you would get the attention. Your book's out. Fight,
yes. It's an autobiography. Tells my story. Thought there was a bit of a gap in the market this year for comedians' autobiographies.
Finally.
Where do you think it sits in the, like, whose life story?
In the chart.
Whose life story do you think you've definitely got a better life story than that comic?
Well, superficially, my life story is not terribly dramatic. I mean, it's a nice life, but it's not a good story.
Is it a real, autobiography, Harry?
It is,
yeah. Sometimes... I don't trust you to tell the truth.
Yeah, really? I wrote one, which was it was called Living the Dream, which was I committed to writing. It was like a diary thing, an entry for one every day of the year, and I came up 10 days short. So I engineered that I was hit over the head and went into a coma for 10 days.
Yeah.
So there's a gap. And I wake up from the coma. Yes, a useful device, literary device,
good.
That.
Very good.
The That's coma. Clever. I always thought that was a thing with a... If you were in a coma, if you went into a coma for like 5 years or something, they would keep you up to date with the hairstyles. The man in bed four is looking terribly dated. Could we do a Peaky Blinders?
We always start with still or sparkling water.
Still
for your dream meals.
I'm saying still water, really still.
How still?
No ripples. No ripples. Because it's like, you know, these...
Ripples of time.
The ripples of time, yeah. And, you know, how one small movement can end up with a huge effect.
You don't like to be reminded of the
chaos theory.
The butterfly effect when you're sitting down for a glass of water.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. I always took that butterfly effect thing, you know, like, was it the... if a butterfly flaps its wings in Streatham,
yeah.
There's a typhoon in... There's a typhoon in the Maldives.
Yes.
And I always took from that that what we should do is kill butterflies. That's the...
Because they're causing so much trouble.
Yeah.
Pop it up as all bread. Pop it up as all bread, Harry Hill. Pop it up as all bread.
Bread.
Straight away. Any particular sort of bread that you're into?
I like a bread that is sort of elasticy and oily.
Wow.
So where does that take us?
For catcher?
Exactly.
Yeah. Coming at you.
Yeah, for catcher coming at you. I mean, bread's changed so much in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to be a rant about younger comedians?
Here we go. Here we go. The old Papa Bear feeling threatened again.
Well, bread needs structure now, doesn't it? The narrative.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, there weren't all these different types of bread.
No.
You know, it's one of the things that I'm lucky to have lived through.
Yeah. Do you think that sometimes?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just white sliced.
But you're
then brown
you.
Came in.
Yeah.
How many breads were there? So like two breads when you were a lad.
Crusty loaves.
Yeah.
And just regular soft loaves.
Soft and crusty.
We were told that the crust had more fibre in it.
So that's where the whole thing of make sure you eat your crusts comes from. Gives you a hairy chest. I was always told that if you eat your crusts.
Look at that bad boy.
Worked.
I mean, for the listener, Harry Hill just flashed his hairy chest. Oh. It's funny because I don't think of you as having a hairy chest.
And then, when would you be thinking about
that? So like
hairy back?
Not so much.
I guess
not at all.
I guess we should stop that line of questioning at the back.
Well, it's you up next.
Arms? Hairy arms?
Forearms.
Thank pits. You. Taking the pits, bad luck.
I don't want to talk about this.
So you want stretchy, elastic, oily bread?
Yes.
With anything with it? You want some butter? You want some dip?
Oil. I'll have some olive oil with it, if I may, yeah.
Balsamic?
Just olive oil.
What are you against balsamic?
I just prefer the oil, and it's a bit sweet, isn't it, the balsamic? I find it a little bit sweet.
Can be, yeah.
Can be sweet, can't it?
Mm. Do you like an olive within your focaccia or a sun-dried tomato?
Well, you know, my son dries tomatoes.
Your son tries to mark. Yep. Oh, fell for that for a second.
Hook, line, and sinker. Yeah,
I was doing a gig with Harry last night, and he said that on stage.
Yeah, he set me up.
And they, and they fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, to the extent that Harry had to explain what the joke was.
Yeah. I had to look at my watch and do that one. I like those jokes sometimes that only like half of them get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you should come and see me one day.
I must. Yeah. So sun-dried tomatoes. I mean, I think I just like the focaccia, straightforward focaccia. It was, you know, this whole thing about the lockdown, everyone started baking bread and all that. I did actually try it.
Yes.
And bake focaccia with some success.
Some success.
I made the dough. Yeah. I forgot to put the olive oil in.
Quite important.
Initially.
Yeah.
So the dough is like dough.
Yes.
And I thought I'd better add the, it's not too late to add the olive oil. So I poured the olive oil, but then it becomes like a big slippery ball of dough because you can't then get the olive oil to penetrate into the, but, you know, I persevered and at the end of it, it was quite convincing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It always looks hard for catcher. Whenever I see people do it on Bake Off or anything like
it's
that.
It's easy.
Really hard.
It's really easy.
You did well on Bake Off, didn't you?
Well, yeah, given that I was against Martin Kemp, who put his buttercream icing in the oven. I mean, like, duh. He got his, whatever it is, the batter mixed up with the icing.
Oh, he switched around.
He put the icing in the oven and the dough in the fridge. Yeah. What a prat. Yeah, so I was up against him. Yeah. I was up against Roisin Conaty.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go any further with that. She made so much gingerbread, it was like a mountain of gingerbread, just great big lumps of it, and she's rolling it out. And it's like this thick. She's rolling it, and then it's that thick, and it's just so much rolling. And Bill Turnbull, who I just beat him.
Yeah.
Have you done it? You've done it, right?
Yeah, I've done it.
James is famously the worst celebrity bake-off contestant of all time.
I saw a bit of it. Was it something really runny you made?
Yeah, flapjacks. I would absolutely trade places with Kemp in a heartbeat. I'd kill for that story. I wish I just put icing in the oven.
I was surprised because I thought, oh, this is just a laugh. Mm-hmm. And then you get the instructions through, and it's all like, do this, and what, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then in the tent, they were quite serious. Martin Kemp was quite steely-eyed about it.
I mean, yeah, I guess he had to change that attitude pretty quickly once he put the buttercream in.
He had to pretend that he hadn't come in to win, and he laughed just a gay. It was all for charity.
A bit of fun, but I bet he went home, just trashed his room. Lost to Harry fucking Hill.
Yeah.
Have you seen Harry Hill on TV? He's a scamp. He beat me.
Yeah. Is it which one's he married to, Shirley or Pepsi?
Shirley, I think.
Shirley, yeah.
Yeah, he's married to Shirley, yeah.
Yeah. I put me buttercream in the oven, Shirl. Never mind, have your dinner. Come on.
More Junior Bake Off?
Yes. I filmed that in the summer. That is, I have to say, the best job I have ever had.
Wow.
I love Junior Bake Off so much. I get so invested.
Yeah,
it's so good.
They're great, those kids. They're so funny. You know, they are. They're just constantly surprising.
Yeah,
to me, you know. I mean, obviously, some of them give me a bit of a hard time, and I've had to sort of take one or two into a corner and say, "Look, mate, the bits that stay in are the bits with me. So, open up a bit more." What they don't show you is all the crying and the try and cut that out.
Yeah,
it's a very cruel program.
But,
And the wasp, because there are a lot of wasps as well, you know, kids, wasps.
That sounds funny. I'd like to see the wasp edit.
Yeah, I'd like to see just pure wasp cut, just like you flapping wasps away from the kids.
Well, what they do is they put up a fake wasp's nest.
Mm-hmm.
You know this?
No.
Yeah, you can buy these commercially. They're a fake wasp's nest that you hang up in the, and that the wasps think, oh, it's already taken.
Oh, right, because I would have thought that would have attracted wasps.
Yeah.
Because if someone like put a fake shop up somewhere, I'd be like, oh, we'll go over there and have a look at the shop.
Not if you're a shop owner.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You go.
You say, no, I'm not going to,
Yeah.
You think, well, we're not going to open a shop here.
Yeah.
There's another shop.
But then...
It's not the same with antique shops, is it? You often get a string of antique shops.
A cluster.
Shop. Mm-hmm. What if you attract a bear, though, because you've put up a big wasp's nest and the bear thinks, this is great.
You couldn't cut...
What?
Honey.
You couldn't cut that out of Junior Bake Off if a bear came in. You'd have to leave that in the edit.
You could cut round some of it.
The director trying to take it out with a zapped tennis racket. Yeah. Just trying to zap the bear.
Yeah. Well, I've often thought, you know, that like people talk about in the future when mankind has died out, what would take over? And often, back in the sort of 80s, people would often say dolphins because they were considered intelligent and able to communicate with each other. I always thought it would be bears.
Yeah.
Because they can pretty much move straight in.
Yeah.
Because everything is the right height. Kitchens, cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big clothes, like the bigger side
baggy
of clothes.
Yeah,
baggy
clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, they could slot right in, couldn't they?
Wouldn't have to do any alterations, pretty much. Just take it over.
Yeah, they love going to Paddington Station. They've already got the statue there.
Yeah, they even named a station after us.
Yeah, this is great. Your dream starter. We're getting into your meal proper now. What?
I saw that you were trying to look at it.
I didn't look at it.
I've written it.
You've got to
write
it down. Yeah. I'm not trying.
I thought
to spoil.
You were trying to look at it.
I don't want any spoilers. you don't need to keep on top of me. I promise I won't read ahead.
Well, I've got potted shrimps.
Oh,
potted
lovely.
Potted shrimps.
They are nice.
Now, I'm going to hold my hands up. I know what shrimps are, but I've never heard of potted shrimps before.
Well, they're like shrimps. Well, they are shrimps in butter.
But the butter's like hard.
Hard.
Yeah.
Hard cold butter that's got like a nutmeggy flavour to it.
Yeah.
With shrimps embedded in it.
What is the ratio? Because I'm now picturing like Jurassic Park, you know, the amber with the mosquito in the middle.
Think again.
It's not one shrimp in the middle of a load of butter. You don't need to.
If you want a fossil reference, it's more like sedimentary rock.
Yeah.
You know, with the little shells all dotted around.
So what's the, like, how much space is there between each shrimp?
Some of them are actually very, would be touching each other.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's not, it's like rush hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rush hour on the tube, on the central line.
Yeah.
Absolutely rammed in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with butter. If you were to fill a carriage of the central line with butter.
And shrimp.
No,
and
the people of the shrimp.
Oh, the people of the shrimp.
Yeah.
For this analogy.
Yeah.
And then chill it down.
Yeah.
Because you'd never be able to eat that amount of potty shrimps if it was shrimps.
Yeah, sure. But a giant could eat that amount of human if it was in the tube carriage on the central line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that. Put his hand in.
Yeah.
Rip the end off and put his hand in like that.
Yeah.
I love potted shrimp. Rarely appears on a menu anymore. You don't really see it. It's sort of, I'll be honest, we initially for our wedding, Harry, not me and James, my wife, we had.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We had potted shrimp on the menu.
Oh, you
did? And then the caterer went bust. And the new one was not on board with potted shrimp. They didn't have potted shrimp available.
Went bust, wow.
Yeah, it was over COVID, of course.
Right.
But we were really looking forward to those potted shrimp.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, and this is, it comes back to your question about bread, because it's served with toast.
So you got more bread now?
It comes with toast, so actually you probably wouldn't order bread.
So you're going to change it to Poppadoms?
No. It's a fault in the format of this. In that it's rigid.
Yeah, oh, there's many faults in this format, Harry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I've just picked one up.
What kind of toast are you having?
I think it's just bread. Is it brown bread toasted? I think it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Brown, just like sliced white.
But is this cold? Brown. It's all cold. The shrimps are cold?
Yeah.
But the toast
is warm.
The toast is hot.
Toast is warm.
Hot, yeah.
And do you, like, put the knife in and then spread this stuff on the toast?
Yeah.
The butter and the shrimp
That's
on the toast.
That's what you do,
and then you eat it.
Yeah. I suppose it's a bit like a sort of terrini type thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, the classic is Morecambe Bay, isn't it? Morecambe Bay potted shrimps.
Right.
There's a lot of shrimping goes on there.
Uh-huh.
And when I was a kid, we would shrimp. We would go shrimping. You know, this is when the oceans were stocked full of living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to dip your shrimp net into the water down there in Eastbourne and come back. It would be teeming with all sorts of living creatures, shrimps and seahorses.
Seahorses.
Yeah. Potted seahorses.
Potted seahorses. Not as popular now.
Not these days, no. Yeah.
You wouldn't get as many seahorses in, I guess. How big is a seahorse? Because I'll be honest, when I imagined it there, it was the size of a small
I think
dog.
They're about that big, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, little action figure size.
Yeah.
So you'd maybe get 3 seahorse and a potted seahorse.
Yeah.
Which isn't good enough.
There's no relationship between seahorses and sea monkeys, is there?
No more than there is between, like, I guess, monkeys and horses.
Right. Well, you think it's as distant as that?
Well, but think about Planet of the Apes, monkeys ride horses.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Do you think there's a sort of scaled-down remake of Planet of the Apes possible where a sea monkey can ride a seahorse?
A water one?
I was just thinking about that. If you were a horse and you think, and the monkey gets on and starts riding, you're thinking, what? Come off it, wouldn't you? You don't think you'd accept it?
No.
Straight away?
No, not at all.
No. I mean, if your version of the future's true, they're going to have bears trying to get on them.
Yeah.
They have a bear saddling up.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, when you're a horse, I reckon you would still think, what? But you would think, I'm going to have to
Fair
put
enough.
Up with this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this bear's going to eat me if I, if
threatening,
I don't,
because
if I don't
threatening.
Prove to be useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas monkeys, you could go, buck this off. I
yeah,
don't care.
Exactly. Run off.
Yeah, yeah. Who cares?
What was the question? Seahorses.
You used to.
A sea monkey riding a seahorse.
You used to catch your shrimp
yeah,
as a little boy.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd catch those shrimps. And then we would take them back to the holiday home, you know, if we had a bed and breakfast or something.
Yeah.
Would you pot them yourself then?
We would boil them
and
eat them just like that. We wouldn't have.
Oh, as they were.
We wouldn't pot them though.
Need anything. Delicious, just as they were.
No, it was a lot of hard work. It's a lot of work because they were very tiny.
Yeah.
We were almost like filter feeders. You'd have to have so many to get a mouthful. my family are filter feeders. So yeah. I should have explained that.
Yeah.
The gaps between our teeth. Can you see that? Just suck up krill and...
Yeah. Harry Krill. Is that
Carrie Krill.
Carrie Krill. Your sister.
My sister.
Your sister, Carrie Krill.
My drag alter ego.
Yeah. Carrie Krill, that'd be great.
I think people are ready for that.
Yeah.
Carrie Krill would be like the opening support act. I could come on in drag.
Yeah.
It would be American, but it would be over.
American,
are they? Yeah. Hi, everyone. It's me, Carrie Krill. How are you doing? Who wants a shrimp?
And then you have fried buckets of shrimp. Yeah.
I mean, it's not so unbelievable an idea that you would do that.
No. Like, probably a lot of your fans are listening to this now going, oh,
yeah, yeah. We want Carrie. They'll be chanting that all the way through the first day. Yeah, right. Okay. It was just a throwaway comment on a podcast. How did I know it was going to be downloaded 700 million times? The most popular podcast in history. We want Carrie. All right. I'll do it. Who wants a shrimp? Yay!
Your garage is just full of shrimp.
Yeah.
At the end of it.
It would be turned into a shrimp hatchery.
Yeah. You get a phone call. I'm having complaints from your neighbour. It says your garage absolutely stinks.
And you go in there and he's turned off the electricity and all the shrimps have died. Oh, no. It all died. Another batch died.
I'd
have to get them wholesale.
I think the potted shrimp sounds very interesting. Where did you first have
potted shrimp? I'm surprised you haven't had it.
Never heard of it before, you said.
Really?
Never even heard of it.
Mm.
It's very, like, because you've got the warm toast and then you sort of get down into the potted shrimp, spread it on. Some of it melts, some of it stays solid. You get that delicious, like, buttery taste.
What did you have for your wedding starter in the end? I'm trying to remember.
Scallops.
What I had. Yeah, I had the scallops.
There were two choices. Scallops with, a langoustine bisque sauce and truffle gnocchi.
What would you have if you'd gone to Ed's wedding? What would you have ticked on scallops?
What was it? Scallops.
Or gnocchi?
I would have scallops, probably, but I'm worried with mass catering if it's cold. I don't think
No. It was good. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff, right?
Yeah. It was warm, but obviously, you know, when,
it's just
when,
with
when
the other caterer
before you arrive,
came bust,
you
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
How are they choosing the caterers?
It's the second choice. We'll come to what was on the rest of the menu later and find out your full menu for Ed's wedding.
What food did you have at your wedding, Harry?
Bloody hell, so long ago. 25 years this year.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations. Congrats.
Thank you so much. We got married in Wandsworth Registry Office.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off in our house, which is a short walk.
My stomach's going mental. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
It was the potted shrimp.
Yeah.
It's kind of absolutely bananas. They are nice. It was happening earlier. Yeah. The longest.
It was doing the whole thing.
It was a real long, like...
Yeah.
And I was like trying to figure out.
My stomach's got tinnitus.
What is that? And I realised it's Ed's stomach. Yeah. I'll leave it alone. And then it just really went off on one again, like a theremin or something.
I apologise.
The start of Doctor Who.
That would be an act.
Yeah.
Britain's got talent, wouldn't it?
So,
what are you going to do for us today, Ed? Theremin sound from the beginning of Doctor Who.
With my stomach.
So the wedding's at Wandsworth Registry Office. You can walk from your house.
So we went. Everyone came to our house. Because the wine bar that we had it in, the Do, we could only get 50 people in.
Uh-huh.
So that's actually quite a good. I don't know about you, but if it's open ended, everyone says, "Oh, what about Auntie so and so?
Yeah,
about so and so. Oh, she'd like to come." You know, and they all start spiraling. Everyone's got their input. So we were quite, in a way, it was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
No, we met at the registry office. Registry office. Yeah. Back to our house for champagne. Right, I bought Sail or Return.
Yeah,
loads of bottles of champagne, and everyone got absolutely trashed. Right, really drunk in a sort of crazy way. There was a cigarette burn in one of the speaker fronts. That gives you some idea.
Yeah.
Of the
bedlam.
Yeah, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then we go across the road. We walk across the road to the wine bar. And in answer to your question, I think it was choices. And I know one was duck. One was like confit of duck.
That's
what I had.
Nice.
I don't remember what the starter was or the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so happy.
Don't tell us who, if the answer is yes, but were there any comedians at your wedding?
Al Murray.
Well, I mean,
why is that funny?
I said, don't tell us who if the answer is yes.
Okay. Oh, I
was trying to do a guessing game and we guess what comedians were at your wedding.
Okay,
and I would have guessed Al Murray.
Because
we all know you're, I mean, fair to say, thick as thieves?
Yeah.
You and Al Murray?
Thick as thieves, yeah.
So, your main course has got the potted shrimp to start. What's that teeing us up for?
The mains. I'm going for spag vong, spaghetti vongole.
Spag vong. No, no one's ever called it spag vong before, and I don't know why.
No. Yeah.
Spag vong.
No, this is another dish I've not heard of.
Oh, mate, you have. This has been on the podcast before, spag vong.
Spag vong. What?
Someone's had spaghetti vongole before, definitely.
No way.
Or vongole, sometimes, isn't it pronounced?
No way.
Vongole.
Describe the dish. Maybe
Well, it's spaghetti, yes.
Yeah.
With a sort of, with clams, little baby clams, aren't they?
Yes.
I don't know why it's called vongole. Where's the vongole come from? Perhaps means
it's Italian for clams, perhaps.
It must mean baby clams. And that's a sauce is sort of, what is it? Sort of oily,
garlicky chili, bit of chili in there as well. Yeah.
Lovely.
A little bit of tomato. It is nice. And what I like about it is, unlike some of the other, obviously the spaghetti bolognese, mm-hmm. There's kind of, you remember hear Prince Charles pronounce spaghetti bolognese? spaghetti bolognese. Yeah, we have some spaghetti bolognese. Is that it? Well, yeah. I'm a very fast eater.
I mean, obviously, we've got to ask you where you heard
Prince Charles. It was just on the news or something. It was just somewhere.
Was that the whole story? Was that how he said it?
We had some spaghetti bolognese. I don't know.
I'm trying to work out what news item that would be.
And you saw it and you thought, I'll never forget that. I'm never going to forget it.
Well, I have a sort of slight obsession with those two.
With those two? Who's the other one?
Camilla.
Yeah.
And a bit with Princess Anne.
What does this obsession entail? Do you think about them a lot and what they'll be doing on a day-to-day basis?
I'd rather not go into it. I mean, I kind of think... Well, he's just a very funny character to me, Prince Charles. This sort of big baby. It's kind of come across as a big baby, isn't it? And I'm fascinated by his. You know, if you have a look at his hands in some of the photographs, they're like big red, sausages, big wall sausages, swollen, and his rings are all sort of tight on his fingers.
Is that a medical thing? I mean,
I have thought that. I've looked at it thinking, is that a medical thing? But it's not one I know of.
No.
That's not saying a hell of a lot.
Yeah. Because I guess people, everyone knows. There's not many comics who everybody knows what they did before comedy. But with you, absolutely everyone knows that you were a doctor. And
I tried to keep it quiet. When I first started, what I didn't want to be known as the doctor comedian.
Yeah.
Because there was a couple. There were a couple around then. There was that Struck Off and Died. You ever see them? They were like a double act.
No.
The whole act was about being a doctor and, you know, and they rose very quickly because it was like a new thing, junior doctors lifting the lid. And I was really sort of dogged about not mentioning it in interviews, but you only have to mention it once and it's kind of such a good story to the public. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some reason, they don't even like the idea. They don't even like the idea necessarily, but it's just like, oh, wow, you gave up all that 5 years at medical school and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
And I've had that, very rarely, but it has happened, is like cab drivers saying, oh, you wasted it all. You should be going back to it, mate. We need doctors. What are you poncing about on stage for? And there's people dying.
The stomach's going again?
Oh, I can't. It's unbelievable.
Did you hear it?
I didn't catch that one, no.
Absolutely wailing.
You got a diagnosis?
Yeah, yeah. Why is this stomach
going
off?
Yeah, I had lunch, but...
You had lunch? I saw him eat it.
I've been eating a lot this week, Harry, and then I had quite a sort of lightish lunch, so maybe it's just not used to... Mm.
Talking of rings on fingers as well, you got more rings than I thought you'd have.
Well, one is a wedding band.
Before you came in here, I thought he's going to have nothing on his hands and the smoothest chest I've ever seen.
He said that to me. I love a vongole. I wouldn't pick it a lot of the time just because I'm so sort of meat-focused.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, but are you not... Because we've had two shellfish so far. Are you a meat-eater or are you just a shellfish fan?
I do eat meat, of course, but I'm trying to eat less. I mean, not terribly successfully, but I'm aware that, you know, this is the drive now.
Yeah.
My wife has stopped eating pigs after she saw that documentary where they sort of trained them to play the xylophone or whatever. Did you see that?
What?
I don't know who it was. Was it Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, one of that bunch?
Whittingstall trained a pig to play the xylophone.
Or was it Jamie, one of them?
Right.
They made members of the public rear animals with the expectation that at the end they would send them off to slaughter.
Yeah.
So they had some families had chickens, some families had pigs. And the pigs were, and if you watched it, you did think, this is like a really smart dog.
Right.
They train them. Oh, go and get the blue ball. You know, they would go off and bring the blue ball back. Now go and get the red ball. Right. Yeah. Now go and tidy your room. No, I don't know what it was. And she watched this, and since that day, she won't eat.
She won't do it anymore. Some of them do tidy their room. Craig Davis told me that he saw a video.
Craig David. What did he say?
Greg Davis.
Oh, Greg Davis. Yes.
But similar.
Yeah.
Similar. Both born to do it. He saw a video of a pig tidying its room.
It's just probably the same program.
That's what Greg told me.
He saw a pig tidying its room?
Yeah, he said that he saw a YouTube video and the owner would be like, tidy your room, pig, and the pig would go, and then tidy its room. That's how Greg told it. He did the snorting noise.
That's pretty good.
Well, there we are.
Yeah, that's what he told me. He told me it during a TV show where he is in charge and everyone else has to do tasks, and he was comparing the pig to my performance in the show and saying that the pig was better.
I see.
Yeah, because you tell the pig what to do and it does it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. That is a fair point.
So it didn't put you off pork? Or did you not see the show?
I was in and out. I was sort of drifting in and out of the show. I didn't see all of it. You know, I saw some elements of it, but not enough to convince me.
No.
If you saw a video of a shrimp tidying its room, would that put you off potted shrimp?
I mean, it's about interpretation. Is it tidying its room or is it just sort of swimming around its room? And there's sort of every now and then its tail would flick something into place by accident. You know, given an infinite amount of time, a shrimp will tidy its room.
As the old phrase goes, And what about if you saw a clam get the blue ball?
Yeah.
Well, it would have to get the blue ball and then get the red ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You wouldn't
just the blue ball. No. Forget it.
Once is a coincidence.
Where do you think spaghetti vongolese would factor into Carrie Krill's act? Do you think Carrie Krill would get the... Because it's a seafood-based act.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, you're saying it's... it was just a coincidence that her name was Carrie Krill.
It doesn't sound like a coincidence. I thought you've got to lean into it.
Mm, okay.
I think the audience would probably start chatting, vongolese!
Well, is it another persona called Yvonne Gole?
Yeah, Yvonne Gole, like that. Yeah. Yeah. Where's my best friend? Yvonne Gole. Enter Al Murray.
Al Murray.
As Yvonne Von Gole.
Of course, yeah. But Al's got, you know, previous, like, dicey history with characters and people taking them at face value. So for the rest of his life, everyone's going to be like, you know, he absolutely loves seafood, that guy. And he loves throwing spaghetti into audiences. It's just what he's genuinely into. Yeah. And that empowers me. And I like to throw spaghetti at people as a result of watching Yvonne.
I feel like Yvonne would maybe use the shells as castanets. That's the instant.
Yeah.
Instant
sort, I had in my mind a dance, some sort of dance.
Yeah, like a flamenco style dance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't got flamenco as far as flamenco, but I thought a dance.
Yeah. Carrie Krill and Yvonne Gole.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I'd love to see UNL. So good.
I did have an idea for a character very briefly, which was clarinet, which was me. Notionally, me dressed as a clarinet, so you can imagine it's got like a top, like a hat that goes into a tapered top in a sort of clarinet suit, which incidentally you can't get from Smithies because I checked.
Yeah.
And then I would come on and I'd go, I would make, because I can do a clarinet noise, and I would just do tunes.
Go on.
We're going to need to hear this.
Hang on. Sorry. Please.
Yes.
Hang on. Hang on, I've started. Hang on. So I get into it after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. Real liberal use of the phrase, I could do a clarinet noise.
Well, you try it. I mean, it's not... No. See, there's a timbre to it.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound anything like woodwind.
What?
Anyone listening to this will know that.
Yeah. They'll be able to tell the difference.
Away.
There'll be people listening to this and go, is Harry playing a clarinet?
Yeah, Harry must have played a clarinet. Yeah. And they're pretending that he's...
in the first time ever I saw your face.
See? Yeah. Yeah, it draws you in.
Great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Harry, this is a Christmas special, so we like to ask our guests on the Christmas special what you like to eat on Christmas Day. What's your dream Christmas meal?
Well, yes, this is a slightly odd question because isn't there only one meal, really, unless you're a vegetarian?
Interesting. Do you reckon?
Roast turkey.
That's it.
Do you like it, though?
Trimmings with all the trimmings.
Do you like the turkey and the trimmings?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Do you carve it? Does someone else carve it?
I cook it and carve it, mate.
You cook it and carve it?
My brother, who is a farmer... an organic farmer, he supplies the turkey. Uh-huh. Dead. It's a dead turkey.
It's dead.
Yeah, just for clarity.
Yeah.
And then I roast it. I usually do all that, you know, with the potatoes. I won't list all the things that everyone knows. This is sort of patronising to the listener.
We want to hear your favourite trimmings in Rankham. Mm. Rankham.
Rankham.
Rank the trimmings.
Rank the trimmings.
Rank the trimmings.
I would say... I do the roast potatoes.
Yeah?
This is so pathetic.
I can't believe you're the first guest that's actually said that.
Roast potatoes, and I would try and get goose fat for those, you know, ever since, well, it's probably Nigella who first turned us on to goose fat.
Yeah.
And roast those, boil them first, whiz
shake
them around the pan, yeah.
Yeah. Shake them up.
Shake them up, get them crispy, high heat. I would smother the turkey in butter, and then I would turn it upside down. This is, I think, a Nigella trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why are you turning it upside down?
So that the... Yeah, disorientated. I would, so the all the fluid stays in the breasts. I mean, I'd say that. Turn it upside down so they remain moist. And succulent.
And then are you flipping it? You're flipping it back when you serve it. You're not serving an upside down turkey.
No. And you turn it over for the last something, half hour or something, just right. To brown that off. The only problem is it then does have a sort of cuboid look.
Okay,
I see. So the top, you got a flat top turkey.
It's a flat top turkey. Yeah, it's a flat top turkey.
Yeah,
that was a song. That was a song, wasn't it?
Yep. Can you play
Fats Domino?
Can you play Flat Top Turkey on the clarinet?
No, I can't. It's turning into a wobble board. I can't just turn it on like that. You know, I need to get into the character a bit with
sorry.
It.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. On, yeah.
Yeah, it's just out of nowhere.
It's not in your repertoire. Flat Top Turkey.
Yeah.
So you got the crispy potatoes are number one. On your trimmings.
Oh, God, yeah. Was that as far as we've got? We've roasted the turkey.
Yeah.
Stuffing. I just like, you know, paxo, sage and onion. Yeah. Nothing, anything meaty or heavy because it's a very rich dish anyway.
Are carrots getting a look in here, Harry?
Carrots, yeah. Batons or coins.
Are you roasting or are you boiling?
I thought you were just
steaming.
So you're boiling.
That should be a new Christmas section we do.
Batons or coins.
Batons or coins! Batons or coins! Harry Hill!
I'd always go batons, roasted batons. I roast a carrot.
I like love a baton a roast. As well. I
roast,
go
love
baton.
A roast carrot.
Yeah, I think it's a different flavour, isn't it?
Yeah, sweeter.
Yeah, sweeter. Carrot coins are a bit school dinners, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. You lose respect for people who serve you carrot coins, do you think?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Pigs in blankets, are they not getting a look in now because your wife no longer wants to eat pork?
Yeah, well, she's actually seen a pig tidy up its own blanket, fold it up neatly and put it at the foot of its bed.
Stow it away, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In his bedroom.
Yeah, I've taken the sheets off if you...
So the pig talks?
Yeah, he's only stayed by night, yeah.
Well, like Carrie Grill.
I'm taking the sheets off. If you got someone else coming in tomorrow.
So the pig's only staying over for one night?
Yeah. He's just bedding down for one night.
Yeah. Took his own sheets off.
It's not even his room, he's tiny. He doesn't know where anything goes.
Just being a good guest.
Pigs in blankets. Yeah, well, this is a problem if you have one member of the family, and we have a complicated family in that I've got one daughter that's vegan, mm-hmm. one I think is vegetarian, one is just regular, and so am I. My wife's just pork. So then you have to cook these things separately, don't you? Which increases the washing up, which is... Mm-hmm.
Would you do the washing up as well, or would that fall to someone who hasn't cooked?
Well, that's what the idea, isn't it? The idea would be that someone who hadn't cooked would do the washing up, but... My kids don't ever do the washing up.
You can't do the washing up because the rippling water reminds you of the passing of time. Horrible for you.
Good, see, then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that?
He remembered it.
You like that?
See, it's the narrative creeping in. You're a natural storyteller. Well, we've got a dishwasher, but obviously that doesn't really do pans, does it?
No.
So, you know, it's a bit of a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I try not to have an argument on Christmas Day about anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
We always end up having an argument.
Really?
Yeah, there's always...
I'd imagine it's very hard to argue with you and not laugh.
No, I'm very short-tempered.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean...
Very short-tempered.
You standing there with your big collar having an argument? I mean, I don't see how they're keeping that up. Straight yeah. face. Yeah. I was having an argument with Harry, hold on.
Yeah. No, I'm hardcore.
Well, you wear the big collar for work, though, right? So Christmas, do you wear a very small collar to really take a day off?
Yeah, I just wear a T-shirt.
I can't Christmas imagine. Day. I cannot imagine
Bank
it.
Holiday Mondays, Christmas Day, Queen's birthday.
I think my head would explode if I saw you in a T-shirt. I don't think I could handle it.
Well, I get that all the time. Oh, I didn't recognise you with that big collar on, mate. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, why aren't you working in them hospitals sorting people? There's people dying in the streets. There you are, punching about. You've been framed. Anyway, tell you what I do like to do, which is because we have a roast. We probably have a roast most Sundays. I know that's quite unusual these days. Uh-huh. But Christmas Day, I do the devils on horseback, which are nice. Mm-hmm. They are fiddly.
Yeah.
Warning, they are fiddly. And you can only eat sort of three or four, can't you?
So they're the prunes wrapped in bacon, right?
Prunes wrapped in bacon with a bit of mango chutney in the middle of the prune.
Mm-hmm. So why can you only eat three or four?
Well, they're so rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also you've got the big meal coming down the line.
Yeah.
I reckon I could eat five.
He could. I could eat five. I'll back him up on that. He's not just shooting his mouth off.
Yeah, I could eat five prunes wrapped in bacon.
Yeah.
What do you reckon a horse would say when a devil gets on its back? Jesus Christ, oh fuck! Oh, God is a devil!
Yeah.
I mean, scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. And fair enough.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, oh, I guess it's the devil staying on there.
Yeah.
Well, where's the devil going?
That's the point. If you were a devil and you got on a horse, where would you be heading?
Stringfellows, I suppose. Stringfellows now! Whatever the devil's voice would sound like.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Your dream side dish?
So you wouldn't really have a side dish with spaghetti vongole, would you? Or vongole?
Well...
But, you know, you don't need to necessarily worry about the menu all seeming like it fits together. If you just want to throw a side dish in there that you like, no one's judging you for having a little side dish.
Okay. Well, I'm saying mange too.
Lovely.
I like the mange too, but I couldn't eat a whole one. It's a joke. That's not really my side dish of choice.
It's not. You just wanted to do the mange too.
Just wanted to resurrect that joke from 1997.
It's a good joke.
It is a good one.
I forgot to mention what? When you're talking about roast dinners, your heckle put down goes around the circuit a lot, saying that you're going home and there's a nice roast chicken in the oven. Yeah.
Mm. Well, you know how that came about?
No.
I had a roast chicken in the oven. It's as simple as that. You know, I always struggled. You know, when you're, I don't really kind of think of myself as a character comedian, but I've got like an exaggerated persona. I mean, I suppose it's all like a character. And whenever I got heckled, I couldn't deal with it because you can't just go, you know, off. I mean, that's what I did to start with.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a bit in the book. I get heckled at the Hackney Empire New Act of the Year, and they used to hold the heats in the pub next door. And I was on there, and I got heckled, and I just told this guy to F off. Mm-hmm. And he shut up. Right, but then I got out of the pub and was walking. Helen Austin used to be, do you remember her? She, guitar act. She had a car and she was going to give me enough back. And I came out of the pub and this guy came after me with a bottle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he smashed this bottle. He's going, hey, he called me that and all this.
Wow.
And I said to Helen, bring the car around, right? So I'm sort of... He's sort of chasing me around this car. She pulls up, it opens the door, I jump in, slam it shut, vroom, off. So I struggled to come. Yeah. And then one night I did have a chicken in the oven. And again, this guy heckles me. And I say, oh, you heckle me now, but I'm safe in the knowledge that when I get home, I've got a lovely chicken in the oven. Yeah, big laugh. And then I came back and ate the chicken. Amazing.
And then you said it every time someone heckled you from then on.
Well, I came back and I almost were like, wanted to tell the chicken, because I did it on my own then, wanted to tell the chicken how grateful I was to it. You never believe what happened tonight.
Did you put a chicken in the oven to cook and then nip out and do a gig?
I must have done.
Wow.
I'd say that's good planning and also pretty brave.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Must have been a local gig.
Must have been.
Slow cook the chicken.
Brown it off initially.
Yeah.
Slow heat.
Would you flip a chicken?
You don't need to
flip a chicken.
No, you just don't need to.
Also, this was pre-Nigella, I guess, so you wouldn't have known about keeping the juice in the breast, if we can say that.
I liked it dry. I like them dry, the breasts, the chicken breasts.
Yeah. Is that another heckle put down?
But I never came up with a better.
When you got that, don't need one.
What was yours?
I just tell them to fuck off.
Yeah.
And then get a change on the car park.
And then quit for a year.
Yeah.
When I first started, there used to be, like, the Stage newspaper? The Stage.
Yeah.
So when I gave up medicine, naively, I thought, I went out and bought the Stage. Because I thought that's what you did if you were in show business. And there was an advert in the back of the Stage, 120 heckle put down lines that you could send off for. Because it's pre-internet.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, yeah, I've got to have that. So I sent off, and it was like photocopied sheets that came back with a staple in. So it had the situation and the heckle put down line for that situation. So man with moustache heckles. Do you know what the heckle put down?
No.
Is that a moustache or have your eyebrows come down for a drink? Which is one of the better ones. Yeah. You've got a face I'd like to shake hands with. Hey, do me a favour. Close the door. From the outside. There's stuff like that. Yeah. It's very specific.
That's very specific.
Yeah.
You'd really have to learn them as well, because you go, right, wait there, hang on. I've got one for this.
Yeah. Moustache. Yeah. Moustache.
Wow.
I think close the door from the outside.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a door from the outside.
Yeah, from the outside.
So, Monge 2 isn't your side dish? Not.
On the vongole, no.
So, we're not having Monge 2. I mean, you can pass on the side if you want, or just have the Monge 2 for a joke. So, you can do that. So, it gives you the opportunity to do the joke at your dream meal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I will do the joke then.
Yeah, so you'd like the Monge 2 so that you can do the joke. Yeah. So, you can say, I couldn't eat a whole one.
Because, if truth be told, I find that sometimes Monge 2 are a bit stringy.
Well, we come on to your dream drink in that case.
A dream drink might be overstating it, but I like, particularly with this meal,
yes,
because I am looking at this as a meal.
Yeah.
A glass or a bottle of Gavi di Gavi.
Gavi di Gavi.
Italian wine.
Yes.
A crisp white
crisp
wine.
White. Are you much of a boozer, Harry?
I do like to drink, but only alone. No, I like to drink, and I like the effect of drink. Mm-hmm. And I do, if I could be drunk all the time and be able to work and not suffer any ill effects, I think I would be.
This is a very, going back to you being a doctor again, but a lot of doctors I've met, I say, would have this opinion.
It's not so unusual, is it?
But I've just met a lot of doctors who really love drugs.
No, I never did any drugs.
No,
I never did any drugs. I'm surprised. I never knew any I knew one.
Yeah.
He became a psychiatrist. But drink, yeah. Well, there was a big boozing. But I like to drink it. I like to drink before that.
Yeah.
I mean, not like I can't hold my drink. I mean, this is the, you know, as you get older, you can't. This is the thing. Me and my friend, we used to drink like, I don't know, 5 or 6 pints. But that's when beer was a pound for a pint.
Yeah.
And now we can only drink 2 pints. So it's sort of costing around the same amount to get drunk. No, I do like to drink. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find it very difficult to come off after a gig and not have a drink.
Yeah, especially if it's in London, straight back home, and then lovely, have a little little glass of something.
I like the ones. I like doing a tour show, and for whatever reason, it finishes a bit earlier that night. Maybe it started earlier. Whatever it is, you get back to the hotel, your tour manager, and you realise you haven't stayed up and had a drink for a few nights. You've just been busy doing the tour, and then I like when the idea pops into your head. I want to suggest them at all. I want to suggest to Paul. Why don't we drop our stuff off in our rooms and then we just meet back in the bar? That's the nicest part of the drink.
I like what
and
I
then
do.
Having the drink is awful.
Well, I did that on my last tour, and I don't tour much, is I had the tour manager waiting at the side of the stage with a pint of lager.
Oh, okay.
Before I come off.
Oh, that's
so I could
bad.
Come off.
That sounds awful.
And that...
Neck yeah. it?
Not quite neck it, but knock it back quite quickly, yeah.
Is your tour manager got a sad look on his face? looking at you quite, oh, here you go, Harry. Oh, dear.
But what I did when I first started was I used to go to the gigs, you know, when, like, you're the open spot. Mm. I would go to the gigs, and then I would stay for the gig, and I would drink as well.
Yeah.
And so at that time, I was getting drunk a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I started driving to gigs and not drinking. Because so club dates, I don't drink.
You have to do your own getaway car, I guess, after you've got a heckle put down. You don't want to be running round a musical acts car over and over again.
I mean, the music acts are the ones with the cars, obviously, because they need the boot space for the instrument. That's a good tip if you're starting out as a comic, is get to know a music act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll always get a lift.
Got wheels.
Yeah. Jim Tavare was always good for a lift.
Well, he had a massive instrument as well, didn't he? So he must have been driving around in a minibus.
You mentioned you've been framed earlier. What's your favourite food-based you've been framed video that you've had to comment on?
Or does that include drink?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, especially because we're on the drink course.
Yeah.
Well, there's the classic, you know, teenage kid walks into patio doors with a tray of hot drinks. Doesn't see that he looks through it rather than at it. Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah.
I loved listening to you just describe that then. Have you ever suggested to ITV that it would be even cheaper for them to make if you just described them rather than like an audiobook?
Yeah. I would like a sort of, old lady at a wedding. She's dancing on a table. Oh, she's fallen over and you can see her knickers. See you after the break. Kitten on a draining board. Oh, he's fallen in the swing bin. Don't worry, he's fine. Yeah, all that. Slipping on the diving board.
Yeah.
Well, you could do that.
So is the tray of hot drinks one a genuine one?
Is that or is it like a classic archetype of you?
Yeah, have you seen a lot of
I've seen that.
Seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it a lot.
It's like one of my favourite videos on YouTube to watch is the Jackass video where they have a massive hand. That they can pull back. It's like the size of a human, the hand, and they can pull it all the way back. So it's on there like so it snaps and it's by a doorway, and they get one of their friends to carry a tray of soup into the room, and then they let it go and it smacks it. Really funny.
I forgot about Jackass, yeah.
Oh.
James hasn't forgotten about Jackass. He watches videos about what they're all doing now.
Yeah. I regularly watch videos catching up with what the Jackass crew are all up to these days. Johnny Knoxville, yeah.
Knoxville, yeah.
Yeah. Steve-O has his own podcast, and I watch the videos of that because the people he interviews a lot of the time are like similar era people who you think, what are they up to? And he interviewed Aaron Carter recently. I don't know if you remember Aaron Carter. He was a pop star, a child pop star, like in primary school still, but was like singing a song about having a crush on a girl.
What was the song then?
Crush on You, it was called. Crush How on? Did you know? 'Cause I never told. You found out I got a crush on you.
I've noticed that when you sing, and this is not a criticism. This is not a criticism. But you don't tend to sustain a note, James.
That's just the song.
Have you noticed?
That's just that particular song.
But it's very staccato. And I've seen you singing other songs.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know you looked into
it. And you don't sustain, and it's very stop.
Yeah.
So it would be like, so the...
There's some songs I would like... I'm a barefoot boy.
No, you're doing it. He's doing
I love the feeling of the ground on my feet. A barefoot baby boy.
Baby boy.
I got 10 little toes and they're pleased to meet
you. Yeah, it's a very good point. You sort of back out of the note quite quickly.
Try something that does require long notes.
I will always love you.
Well, that one.
Yeah.
That's would be ideal.
No, but when I do like, when I die... Bury me with constant prayers.
But even you're breaking up, you're breaking the long note up into like four note that you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard, isn't it?
Something to work on.
It's very hard.
You got it.
It's very hard.
Go on.
We'll always love you. We'll always love you. Got a crush on you.
You.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. You held that note for sure.
Mm. Yeah, that was good.
Actually. Curse broken.
I felt good about that. The curse is broken. Thank you, Harry. You are truly a doctor. We've come to the dessert now, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dessert time.
Now, I'm nervous going into this.
Why? Because Harry couldn't remember the dessert on his wedding day. I saw you get a bit nervous there.
That's concerning, but also...
Yeah, I wonder what that was. My wife would know. Should I phone her? No.
Early doors. I mean, you can phone your wife if you want.
No, I don't know.
No.
She's at work, she'll kill me.
She'll kill you. Early doors, there was something and you said you didn't like the sweet. You didn't like sweet balsamic...
In the bread.
Balsamic vinegar.
Yes.
Too sweet, I don't like the sweetness.
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, oh dear. I might be in trouble here with the dessert. I'm a puddings boy. I love the dessert. I've even put some little chocolate miniature Cadbury's Heroes on the table to see.
Well, you say you put them on the table, you put them in front of you.
Yeah. Why did you do that?
I was going to eat them.
But you know you can't eat during the podcast.
Yeah. As soon as I sat down, I thought, I can't eat those.
Yeah.
So I've had them there.
So you've just been looking at them for the whole thing.
Yeah, but also it served as a test because I've been clocking all the way through how many times Harry looked at them, and it wasn't any times.
Yeah.
He hasn't cared about them, which makes me worried about this dessert course. He's now reading the ingredients in a whisper bar.
No, I'm making a point here that these... What are these from? These are Cadbury's...
Heroes.
Miniature
these are heroes. Yes, so now in the celebrations... This is how you can tell the difference between the celebrations and the heroes, is the celebrations have a tiny slit here to aid
the opening
of the confectionery.
So that, I mean, they have them here at the top, you see. You see, they've got those little notches at the top there. And this one's even got the crunchy...
It's not obviously that.
The crunchy bits has got an arrow here to show you.
Yeah, it's even an arrow saying pull down.
Well, that if you pull on that arrow, it doesn't work. So,
that's a good point, actually. There you go. I don't know what that is. It works. It's going to work.
Works a little bit on Ed's one. And you just open your whisper.
Yeah.
I have to eat that now, won't I?
Yeah. You've got to eat it. It's on your dessert course. It's like your dessert.
Don't worry about the dessert, James.
Yeah, okay.
Because I am a dessert person. I am a pudding person. And I like, what I particularly like is cream. I don't like anything too sweet, but I like creamy creamy things.
Yes.
Cream in all its forms. Pouring cream.
Yeah.
Double cream. Uh-huh. Whipped cream. Clotted cream. Oh. The champagne of cream. Chantilly cream, even.
Oh.
Sun
what
cream?
Other creams are there?
Sun cream.
Even some of that.
Yeah.
So I've chosen trifle.
Mm. Lovely. Jamie Oliver, Armando Iannucci, and now you. The trifle boys. The trifle crew.
Jamie Oliver was the only person to ever complain about our portrayal of him on TV, but how we used his
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, there was a program, which I think was a low point for him. It was Ministry of Food. Do you remember it?
Uh-huh.
Where it was all about, if you teach this person how to do this recipe,
oh, yeah,
they teach two people. And then they...
I quite liked that.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I thought it was pissing in the wind, I thought.
Oh, there was a builder on it. There was a guy who was like, I can't cook, there's no point, I can't do any of this. And he just fell in love with cooking by the end. And it was
emotional. There were individual stories, but the whole thing about the campaign I just thought was a bit silly. And they had this sort of animation thing, which was, if one person, so it's like a pyramid, it starts off, if one person learns how to cook spaghetti vongole and teaches two other people, and they teach, by the end of a week, 64 people would be able to cook spaghetti vongole, right?
Yeah.
So I did, if one person doesn't watch, and he was really, apparently really furious, and we depended on them giving us clips.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So we had to try and get in with them. So the producer said to me, you've got to record an apology, okay?
Yeah.
So I had my phone. I thought, so I recorded this apology, which was me singing I Just Called to Say I Love You, a video in my kitchen. And I go, I just called to say I love you. I said, we've even got one of your pans. And then I'm looking through my pans, trying to, because we had one of these Jamie Oliver pans. I couldn't find it.
Didn't want to reshoot and put the pan in the right place. You sent him that?
I sent it to the producer and he said, I can't send him that, it'd make it worse. So we never got any more clips from him.
Well, you taught yourself out of a lovely pair of pants, I'd say. We were nice to Jamie Oliver.
Yes, he recommended his pants that he wears.
Jamie Oliver pants?
No, he hasn't made
them. Branded pants.
They're just the ones that he likes to wear.
Which are?
Sacks.
Sacks with two X's. S-A-double-X.
And Sacks sent us some pants to try for ourselves.
Wow.
And you know what? And I don't mind saying this, they're genuinely brilliant pants.
Are they?
I'm wearing them right now.
S-A-X. Sacks.
I'm wearing them right now, Harry. I'm wearing some pants that I would not have if it wasn't for Jamie Oliver. I put them on this morning and genuinely laughed as I was putting them on because I thought, what a life I've got. Wearing some pants that Jamie Oliver sent me.
He sent them.
Yeah, he hooked us up while he mentioned them on the podcast, and then we got them because of Jamie Oliver.
That's how it
really
works.
Makes me laugh. You, Armando, and Jamie Oliver, if you were layered up like a trifle, who would be what?
Good question.
Thank you.
Well, I would be, modesty prevents me from saying that I would be the cream, but I would say I was the custard.
But the thing is, that shows us how much you love cream, because you've considered cream to be the best thing on the trifle and you don't want to say you're the cream. Yeah. For me, the cream, that's the worst bit on the trifle.
Oh, gosh, really? Wow.
The little cake and the cake and the jelly and all that
the
stuff.
Sponge.
That's the best stuff.
Really?
The sponge,
custard's
jelly.
My favourite bit.
Yeah. Well, it's the three things working as a team.
The three of us should go out and share a trifle. It sounds like we all like different bits of it.
Yeah.
We all get a spoon. You eat the top layer, Harry.
Yeah,
you eat the custard.
Custard up.
And I've got to wait a long while to get to the bottom, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Good things come to those who wait, Ed.
Yeah.
So if you're the custard, who's
and
the cream
I'm
and who's the jelly?
Underneath the cream, which is, I would say, probably Armando, isn't he? Because he's something of a legend.
Yeah.
And then Oliver underneath.
Oliver jelly.
As a sponge.
Jelly and sponge.
As a jelly-soaked sponge.
Yeah, that's very nice, actually.
Yeah.
To be fair, he invited me on his pier thing, end of the pier. Have you done that?
I heard of it.
That South End thing.
He was telling us about it, I think, when we were...
Yeah, and he didn't raise it, I didn't raise it.
Oh, there you go, it's in the past.
Yeah, you could have
made me think it was maybe...
Live.
Yeah, made me think maybe it wasn't him that made the fuss, maybe it was the producer.
Yeah, potentially.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
I'm going to read your order back to you now, see how you feel about it. Water, you want still water, no ripples. Poppadoms or bread, focaccia with olive oil. Starter, potted shrimp with toast, main, spag vong. Christmas dinner, roast turkey with all the trimmings, devils on horseback. Chuck those in as well. Side dish, monge too, just for the joke. Drink, gavi to gavi. Dessert, trifle.
Lovely.
How you feel?
Full.
Full.
You'd be chuffed with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, got a whole Christmas dinner.
I think it works really well as a menu.
Which is kind of rare, I'd say.
Yeah?
Because people just go a bit wild. I know we certainly did when we did ours.
Yeah, sometimes just go for, well, that's my favourite. I always think of it. That's my favourite of that individual thing. And I'm always, when people come on and they make it work as a whole meal, I'd always think, I bet their life is a lot more organised and better than mine.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Harry.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Harry.
Well, there we are. What a great menu. What a great chat with Harry Hill.
Loved it. Loved every second.
Great clarinet impression, of course.
I mean, one for the ages. Forgive one should re-listen to that. I would advise people, you know, maybe like go back, pause it just before the clarinet impression, then find on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Audio of a clarinet being played on its own, and then listen to Harry.
Yes,
then,
I think so.
You know, see how wrong I was. I was quite annoyed actually about afterwards. I went away from it and I thought about it. And the argument that was presented to me in the room, and I said, that doesn't sound like a clarinet. And he said, well, you do it.
Yeah.
You do it then. That's not an argument.
No, but also you did it to exactly the same quality and level that he did it.
I thought I did, but he made out that I didn't.
No, I thought I was in the room. You both sounded exactly the same. But he didn't say hooves, so we can't kick him out for a bad clarinet impression.
Well,
hooves is the only reason we could have kicked him out. And he didn't say hooves.
Been good if he said hooves during the clarinet impression.
Yeah.
Hooves.
Sorry, did someone just play a clarinet?
Yeah, sorry, there's a clarinet in the room.
Go and buy Harry's book, Fight.
Yes, buy it for everyone for Christmas.
Yes, and also buy tickets to my tour for Christmas. Gamble, electric, edgamble.co.uk. For details, go and buy tickets. Please also buy my vinyl, available on edgamblestore.com.
A thing of beauty. Does it warm your heart, Ed Gamble, to know that maybe some people on Christmas Day will be unwrapping presents and it's like the Ed Gamble vinyl or like tickets to, you know, a card and you open it and says, we're going to see Ed Gamble Merry Christmas. And they're like,
unwrapping an email. Check your email. Merry Christmas. That's something the internet has taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Is unwrapping tickets.
Unwrapping tickets, yeah. I mean, it tends to be they just write it in a card now.
Yeah. Or maybe you can write in a card a link to your special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just write the link out.
Or, you know, I'm talking to the listener. Maybe you want to buy a link. You want to buy James's special for someone.
Maybe you want to, buy my special. It's available on my website, jamesacaster.com. And my special's called The Sound You Hate Myself 1999.
Mm-hmm. But it was only released last year.
Yeah.
Not 1999, don't get confused.
Don't get confused, but you can buy them that and then write down the link. It's absolutely right. And then they can go on their computer and they can type the link in.
Merry Christmas. I hope you all have a wonderful Christmas, better than last year, unless you had a brilliant Christmas last year, in which case I hope you have the same.
Or even better.
Even better.
I hope every Christmas from now until the day of your death is better than the one before.
Hello, it's Harry Hill here, and I'm recording this trailer for my new podcast, Harry Hill's Noise. Basically, it's a half hour of ambient sound, and then at some point during the podcast, I make a noise. Now, when you're listening to it, you'll forget that I'm about to make a noise, and you'll get lulled into it, and then I'll make the noise, and it'll be really funny. I mean, it doesn't sound like a regular podcast, does it? But believe me, you're going to really love it. So why don't you subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. It's called Harry Hill's Noise, and it's coming soon.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.